Our Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight for your eternal word and for your voice speaking through that word in centuries past and today. We thank you for giving us the grace to hear your voice, to respond in faith, and to find our lives changed by your mercy. We pray tonight as we look into your word, you will move upon us with a spirit of understanding and wisdom, a spirit of obedience and love, and grant that in some measure we may grow in grace because of what we hear and what we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. There are some people who are able to learn from the experience of others. And there are other people who seem to have to learn everything for themselves. The scripture tells us that the things that happened to the people of God under the old covenant were written down for our instruction. In the 15th chapter of Romans, we read, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." Some people are able to learn from the experiences of others. And I hope tonight all of us here are among those people. I want us to look at two incidents in the Old Testament that happened to the people of God, and particularly as they concerned the people and their leader, Moses. I want to start in Exodus chapter 17. Would you turn to it, please? Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people found fault with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you find fault with me? Why do you put the Lord to the proof?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" The people of God, when confronted with a difficulty that they could not solve, did what so often they do, complained. Complained bitterly against Moses, who had led them out into the wilderness. But remember, they had not stumbled into the wilderness. It wasn't by some blind miscalculation on the part of Moses that they had gone in that direction. For perhaps you will remember that the scripture says explicitly that when God brought them out of Egypt and over the dry land, he did not lead them to the land of promise by way of the Philistines, although that was near. Rather, he led them by way of the wilderness. Sometimes the way to the land of promise is through the wilderness. It was God who indeed took them down that stormy course. And he knew very well that quickly they would face an obstacle that they would be unable to solve in their own resources. And indeed they did. They'd gone no distance at all when they ran out of water. Now, some of you know that 2 years ago, I was asked by the Israeli government to lead an expedition from Egypt through the wilderness, retracing the steps of the Exodus. We had about 30 Jewish people, and I gave the biblical lectures all the way along as we retraced their steps. And according to biblical scholars and archaeologists, there are three possible routes across the Sinai, and we took all three of them. It took the children of Israel 40 years, and it took us 2 weeks. But then we had four-wheel drive Land Rovers, and they did not. But I can say very clearly that I developed a certain sense of sympathy for these people. For the temperatures were close to 130 during the day, and one could go for miles and miles and miles and not see a spear of grass, not one. Nothing but burning sand and rock, huge mountains of rock down the center of that peninsula. They were without water, and they complained. I wonder what they expected Moses to do when they came to him and said, "Give us water." What did they expect he was going to be able to do? Moses was only a man, and they must have known that. That tells us something about complaining, doesn't it? Oftentimes, when we get in a tight spot, we just complain, even though the complaint makes no sense whatever. And the one that we complain to, oftentimes, it's not their fault, and there's nothing much they can do about it. But in this case, Moses took it to the Lord. So Moses cried to the Lord, verse 4, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in the hand the rod with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink." So the Lord said, "Go, Moses, take that rod that I have given to you, and with which you parted the sea, and I will stand on the rock before you, and when you get to Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come forth." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and they drank. A great and mighty deliverance by the hand of God. Turn to the 20th chapter of Numbers, a bit to the right. It's strange, I guess, that the people of God seem to have memories like sieves. Anyway, and the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and said, "Would that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." I wonder why they didn't remember that it wasn't too long before this that they stood in a similar situation and God provided. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "Take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them. So you shall give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his rod twice, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their cattle. There's a difference between these two stories, and a very important difference. The first time the Lord said to Moses, "Take your rod and strike the rock, and water will come forth." The second time he tells them in verse 8, that he is to indeed speak to the rock. Take the rock, assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. No mention here of taking a rod and striking it now. Just speak to the rock, Moses, and it will yield its water. But I can understand Moses and his exasperation, can't you? They were after him. They were complaining against him for leading them to such a vile and evil place. And so in anger, he said, "You rebel, shall I draw for you water from this rock?" And in anger, he struck the rock with a rod, but water came out just the same. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Moses was not allowed to lead the people of Israel finally into the land because of his disobedience at that point. Because he struck the rock in anger rather than spoke to the rock as he was instructed. A very human thing. I'm sure you understand how he must have felt. But nonetheless, he disobeyed the Lord. Perhaps you're thinking, why should God be so upset that Moses struck the rock rather than spoke to it? After all, water came forth, and either way, it really didn't matter. But Moses was accused by the Lord of unbelief. He did not obey the Lord and do as the Lord had told him. Now, the significance of this is that Moses thereby messed up a beautiful image that the Lord God was going to establish. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, where Paul comments on the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink. For they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. They drank from that rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. The problem with the disobedience of Moses was that it broke a very beautiful image that the Lord was establishing. Because Jesus was the rock from which the living waters flowed. And indeed, in order to release those living waters, it was necessary that he be struck and that he sacrifice himself and his life upon a cross. And indeed he did. And the scripture tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him when he made himself an offering for sin. Jesus was indeed smitten. And he, as the rock, was struck before it could yield the healing flow. But you see, Moses, the second time when the need for water arose, was merely to speak to the rock, and it would come. You see, now once that Christ has been slain and has died for us, it's never necessary again that a blow be given in order for the healing waters to flow. Now all you and I do is come to him in faith and speak to the rock and say, Lord, let that healing water flow over me and cleanse me and refresh me and renew me. Never again do we have to strike out to release the power that's contained in that rock. There's another beautiful thing about that little passage. It says they drank of the supernatural rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I've walked over those sandy courses, and I know what that part of the world is like. And one wonders if there's water within miles. But the image here is that underneath those burning sands and those mountainous rocks is a stream. And I can just imagine that as the children of Israel marched in procession and moved through that wilderness, it's as though underneath, the water flowed, underneath those sands. It was a little bit like when I was a child and I used to play with a magnet and iron filings. And you know, I could put the magnet underneath and the filings on top. And wherever I moved the magnet, the little metal pieces would follow, you see. I can imagine that it was something like that. Wherever the children of Israel walked and wherever they went, underneath, this water was always there. God knew they had to have water to survive. He didn't make a mistake when he led them into the wilderness. He knew exactly how he was going to provide for their difficulty. And if they had trusted him, they would have seen it again and again and again. Because you see, there was no place they could go in that wilderness where the provision for their daily need would not be found. Because this was a rock that followed them. Can you see the significance of that for our lives today? There is no place that you can go in the course of your life where the provision for your need is not found. For that living rock, Christ Jesus, follows us wherever we are. And all we need do is not strike the rock. It's already been smitten and the waters have been released, but merely speak to the rock. And people, by the hundreds these days, are finding out the simplicity of that lesson. Lord, here I am in a difficult place. I don't see any way out. You are the rock that follows me. Provide for my need according to your wisdom. And it happens. There are testimonies, so many testimonies, right here in this room. If we had lots more time tonight, we could just stop at this point and ask you to stand up and tell how you found the Lord's provision in a desert place. How in the most unlikely circumstance, there it was. And all you need do was speak to the rock. Moses, you messed up a beautiful image. You didn't need to strike that rock again. It was already struck. All you needed to do was speak to it. The water was underneath all the time. If you and I can remember that tomorrow as we wake up, get out of bed and start our day, that wherever you walk, wherever you go, wherever you are, underneath is that healing stream. And it can be received by speaking to it. And it begins to come up and well up. And it will provide refreshment and renewal and preserve life and health and strength for your life. Just speak to the rock tomorrow and watch the healing waters flow. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank the Lord.